It's time for Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast with your hosts, Eric C. Lindstrom and Cheryl Leahy.
Welcome to this week's Vegan Family Podcast. We're excited the episode focuses on the most food-centric holiday of the year, Thanksgiving.
That's right. Or as we like to call it, Thanksgiving. It's still my favorite holiday, even as a vegan.
We have some recipe ideas, our own tips for hosting a vegan Thanksgiving, as well as attending a vegan Thanksgiving and a giveaway.
Yes, I'm excited about that. I'm actually hoping the giveaway features gravy. I just love gravy. So stay tuned, pull up your gravy boat, and we'll be right back.
Visit tryveg.com for inspiring and simple plant-based recipes your whole family will love. While there, download our free vegan starter guide, tryveg.com. We've got vegans covered.
And we're back. So what do you think about Thanksgiving? So I think when people are not vegan, this is one of their first questions. What do you do? What do vegans do? What are sort of our traditions as vegans? What do other vegans do? And how is it different from maybe how we grew up?
Yeah. Well, so many of these holidays, as you know, Cheryl, center around something on the center of the table. And I think once people realize that that is not the case necessarily, that you don't have to have it, although I've got a great tip for a bunch of things that you can put in the middle of the table. Once you realize how many of those sides, how many of those other dishes are already vegan, it's very simple to pull off a vegan Thanksgiving.
So what is your favorite? What is the best thing that you do? Or that you've seen other people do and you aspire to do?
Yes. Well, we are lucky where we live to have a huge network of vegans. We refer to ourselves as the vegan mafia. There's as many as 20 of us who will come together for Thanksgiving, and everybody is vegan, and everybody brings something different. And so in that regard, we're very fortunate. I realize there's a lot of people out there who don't know many vegans in person or who struggle to maybe find some options for themselves for holidays, but we're lucky here. And so one of the things, of course, you could buy a celebration roast. I think, as you know, there are some really popular companies making some delicious roasts that we could talk about later. But I also have a tip for creating your own celebration roast. Have you ever done that yourself?
No, that's maybe a little ambitious for me.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's a very ambitious recipe. The first two things that you need are a colander and cheesecloth. Does this ring any bells yet?
I did see a recent cooking demo involving a cheesecloth.
Okay, yes.
And they told me that you have to get it at a paint store.
That's one place you can get it. It's also, of course, the same kind of cloths you might use when milking your almonds, when sort of straining out the pulp from some of the nuts that you might make into milk. But this cheesecloth is, you know, you make it wet and then you line the inside of a colander, a good-sized colander, with the cheesecloth. And then you take your blended up, smashed up, however you want to do it, tofu. And so you're basically taking a spiced tofu, put whatever spices you want into it, probably two or three blocks, and you're filling this entire colander that's been lined with the cheesecloth with this tofu and then weighting it down. And so you let it drain, you let it press for, you know, a good few hours. And then what you end up having is, of course, this bowl-shaped tofu that you then scoop out the center. Are you still with me? Mm-hmm. Scoop out the center of this bowl and fill that with your favorite stuffing. And so I happen to love making cornbread stuffing. Everything we make for our potlucks and for our holidays are gluten-free, as well as being vegan, just to sort of address everyone's dietary restrictions. And so cornbread is an easy vegan and gluten-free version of your favorite stuffing. I like to put diced apples in it, all of the parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme. Some people like to put vegan sausage into their Thanksgiving stuffings. And so then you fill that hole that you've just made in that tofu with the stuffing, and then you put the remainder of the tofu that you pulled out of the center back on top. And so now you've made this helmet, this sort of like pillow of stuffing.
That's exactly what I was picturing. I was picturing a little hat.
Yeah, so good.
Okay.
good. So you are following this. And so you let that drain a little bit more. I mean, again, you could leave it out for a couple of hours at that point. You just don't want a whole lot of moisture in it, because the next move is the trickiest part of this, where you take a parchment paper lined cookie sheet, place it over the colander, and then flip the whole thing over. The cheesecloth will hopefully, like using for cheese and other types of things you want to be held together, the cheesecloth will hold it together pretty well. You pull the colander off and then peel off the cheesecloth. And now you have this dome that only you know is secretly filled with your favorite vegan stuffing. And then just bake it and just keep baking it. You almost can't overbake this. If you want to, you could brush it with some garlic olive oil or some garlic infused vegan butter. Basically, you could be basting this for as much as 2 to 3 hours at 400 degrees in the oven. It's all cooked anyway, so what you're really trying to do is get this thing to set up
and dry it out, right?
Actually getting it a little bit crisp too, hopefully. So that's why I say you really can't overcook this too much. So when it's done, you hopefully can either slide it off the parchment paper or just cut around it. Garnish the platter with some vegetables and some, carrots and potatoes, diced tomatoes and things like that, potatoes. And then you could hopefully cut it into a slice and then serve it with gravy, which is my favorite part of Thanksgiving still. I love making a mushroom gravy.
So this is basically, like, I'm still caught up on the helmet. So this is basically kind of like the tofurkey roast that's stuffed.
Yep,
that you're exactly. That you're slicing to sort of be like a stuffed imitation turkey.
Right. It's a tofu outer shell that holds your stuffing. And again, if done right, if cooked the right amount of time, it will set up and it'll cut like a cake, like a tofu, delicious, savory cake that, again, can be at the center of the table. It can be something that you carve, if carving is part of your tradition. It can be something that you can, easily fill 20 people with, because it's not a smaller roast.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just, when you have that with your gravy, with your mashed potatoes, with your cranberries sauce. I mean, all of the things, the green bean casserole, all of these recipes are super simple to veganize. But that particular celebration roast is something that mentally will fill the center of that table for you.
I'm listening to you with two minds. I'm thinking, that sounds amazing, because as my vegan self. And then I'm thinking, what do non-vegans think of this?
Yeah, well, we've had, on occasion, a lot of people show up. They're, of course, more intrigued by it as an oddity, I think, than is this going to be delicious? I mean, it's always delicious. There's no question that the flavors are there. If you like stuffing anyway, if you like gravy, you're going to like this dish. But it is this, as you say, helmet, this strange thing in the center of the table. We've had some omnivores at our potlucks and our Thanksgiving events, and they've enjoyed it. I mean, they've been very supportive of what we do and the recipes and the food that we put out. So, when you again, have that with the sides, the usual sides, and some people will make things like macaroni and cheese, all of these dishes that are just super filling. And that's why I love Thanksgiving. It's this excuse to just eat and then lay down.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing, that the bridge between the vegans and the non-vegans is really about this feeling that something needs to fill that blank spot on the plate that they've just mentally removed.
I know. And on the darker side of sort of celebrating Thanksgiving, I've had to personally stop having Thanksgiving with my own mother because of that. She wants the turkey and she refuses not to have the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, meanwhile, we want a 100% cruelty-free holiday.
Yeah, that's the really interesting part to me, because when you said, we have 20, different people who come over, now I'm thinking this is like the fork in the road, right? And it's not just a vegan question. This is sort of due to your friends' Thanksgiving, due to your family Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
How do you kind of meld the two different cultures or two different approaches? So do you feel like, first of all, most of those people who come over, have kids or they're mostly adults?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they all have kids. In fact, a lot of the parents that attend have been raising their kids vegan since birth. And so we're lucky again, where it's proof of, you know, sort of course, as we know, the healthy aspects of a plant-based diet. But it's also proof of kids who are clamoring to get to the celebration roast that are all excited about eating this this Brazilian cheese bread that I make. They're not hungry. They're not wondering where other things are. They're very happy to celebrate and very happy to be part of this group and very happy to be celebrating Thanksgiving as they have for, you know, 10 to 15 years, depending on their age.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think the vegan kids that I know, and I'm in still little kid world, you know, I don't know if this is true for the teenagers or even pre-teenagers, but they're all really happy to be vegan and excited to be vegan. And I live far from my family, so we often will do something similar where we get together with other families, most of which are vegan, but then, or, and also friends without kids. But they are vegan dinners, where if I was in town with my family, I think I would not have the, you know, the control over what would be on the table. I have had my family come out here and hosted vegan Thanksgiving and everyone was happy. So I think that, I mean, if you have the option to host, I think that might be the best way to do it, especially if, you know, your family's close and they, not just physically close, but like they like you. They may that be closeness. Willing to take that, like you say, as an oddity, right? It's like, you don't want to be like the Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum of Food, you know? but having known you, I mean, it's so funny, like families are so funny because they've known you your whole life, but they still think things that have been so normal for you for so long that are, can be like a little like what? So I think this is a big question. I think this is like, if you're going to go with the family of origin Thanksgiving, what do you do when it's a non-vegan Thanksgiving? Do you take that line where you say no, like there's going to be a cruelty-free environment or nothing? Or do you try to kind of create that community of vegan families, vegan friends, and have the cruelty-free Thanksgiving? And I think, you know, there's just sort of different questions that are raised by both situations. You're almost in defense mode, I think, when you...
I know. And actually, that's a great point in terms of what this podcast is about, because we, you and I, have our own experiences, our own separate experiences for each of these holidays and how we've dealt with them. And we can't begin to think of all of the other people who are struggling still, who are still trying to find their way with their vegan diet, with their vegan lifestyle. And all of these individuals who have to, for lack of a better term, because of their age or because of tradition or culture, have to show up to non-vegan Thanksgivings and still be that person who's standing there saying, you know, this is, I'm not comfortable here. 46 million turkeys have been killed for this holiday, and they don't have a choice, right? And so I want to be able to keep that in mind. I want to always remember that there are others out there who do need more tips, who need more recipes perhaps, or need more guidance to make it easy on them.
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like I can remember what that was like. Yeah. Being just totally without the means to have my own, you know, being a kid, not having a car, not having a job, right? Just having those same feelings. And it's interesting to do this vegan family podcast because I do think in some ways, even though I did a lot of, like, as just, you know, an adult without kids, like, that was probably the easiest to go to people's houses, family, and in-laws, and whatever, and bring vegan food and kind of sort of advertise that way. Like, look, it's amazing. And it is. Everybody always eats the vegan stuff and then it's like gone. And then...
I know, it's true. Isn't that true?
But I do think the hard thing is more just the interpersonal stuff. And what changes that is having the kids, because once you have kids, it's like the gravitational pull is like that family. You have to... It's just so much more practically difficult to get everybody... you know, to a different location. And so you have a little bit more control. And then by that time you have the means to cook your own food, buy your own food, create your own traditions.
Now, have you ever celebrated a Thanksgiving event at a sanctuary or as part of a sanctuary event?
Yes, I love those. I love
That's
those
fantastic.
So much.
Well, tell me about it because I'm about to celebrate my first.
Oh, really? Okay, so yeah, I don't know how many sanctuaries do this, but I know Poplar in the DC area, Maryland does this, Poplar
mm-hmm,
Spring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they do the Thanksgiving for the turkeys. And I know that it was like a pretty popular event and it got way more popular when I was living in DC. So it wasn't just, it definitely was not just my vegan friends, but all my vegan friends wanted to go. But then everybody else wanted to go too because it's just like a fun place to be. And it was just a huge potluck. People just brought, you know, their favorite dish or whatever. And you could tell some of the people like weren't really cooks. Like they, this was maybe, maybe something they...
They picked up a bag on the way.
Yeah, well, they tried. You know, like they got they got out a recipe. Maybe this is the one time of year they do it. But I, a lot of the food was amazing. And then they then they feed the turkeys and you kind of hang out. I remember one year they had piglets and they're just like running around everybody's table. And then they have pumpkins for the pigs, which is amazing. The pigs like love to, like they have pumpkins kind of to decorate. Then you can throw them into the pig area. And the pigs just kind of like love to eat the pumpkins. It's the best.
That's fantastic. Now, how do you get our non-vegan family members to attend an event like that? Do you pay their way in and do you tell them about how much fun it's going to be, that there's music and there's camaraderie and there's, you know, animals? I mean, it seems to me like wouldn't that be the best place to convince people perhaps to consider stop eating animals?
That's such a good question because I actually never had to twist anyone's arm to go to a sanctuary.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually went to a wedding once at a sanctuary.
That's awesome.
And the couple was vegan, but a lot of their friends were not. And it was like turkeys were sitting there like begging at the table like dogs. It was amazing. And like we, the, during the
That's
ceremony,
great.
There was all this like squawking and quacking and like, it was amazing. So, and also recently I just went to a sanctuary and brought my non-vegan niece who's in graduate school. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to do any persuasion. I was like, let's do this. It's amazing. Look at these animals they have. And she was like, this is so fun. Let's go.
Yeah.
I do think that's a pretty easy bar to clear. You can get anybody to go to a sanctuary. Everyone loves cuddling with animals and running around in nature, especially, you know, all the city people. So yeah, I think that's, that might be actually your best sort of way. And I will say it's so funny with sanctuaries. Like not everybody gets why there's a sanctuary, what the point of sanctuaries are.
Right.
Right. So you do have to get them there experiencing the animals and playing with the animals and then say something. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we think about it like, oh, you know, this is so great to like really see the animals how they're supposed to be. All of the counterparts of these animals are having horrible lives and dying, and they're just like, yay, lambs.
They think it's a petting zoo.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a little bit of activism
educate.
You have to be doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Actually, I was thinking about that number too, which every year shocks me that 46 million turkeys. Are killed needlessly for this holiday alone. And that's not even counting the rest during the rest of the year. 46 million is the population of the country of Spain. When you give it like sort of a context that many turkeys every year are killed for Thanksgiving, for a holiday that the most people who are celebrating it think of it as a joyful event. And it certainly isn't joyful for, you know, the animals that are sacrificed for taste buds, which is really sad. So what are your favorite recipes? Do you have anything in particular that you love to make or bring or that you've had?
Yeah, I have some things that I pull from my childhood. So I grew up in the Midwest. It's funny because the non-Midwesterners always think it's weird that I say we have to have corn. And I'm like, what do you mean you have to have corn? Just part of it. And so we do that. And then my mom has a cranberry recipe, which is really easy, but everybody loves it. And it's just basically taking the actual raw cranberries that, you know, you get in a bag and mixing it with a lot of sugar, cinnamon, and water and just boiling it and like, boom, done. You can eat it like hot or cold. And then there's a recipe in the Vegan with a Vengeance cookbook, Issa Moskowitz, that's for mushroom risotto.
Oh my gosh, my favorite.
Yeah, and that's a holiday recipe for us. We've probably been doing that for over a decade. Whenever that book came out.
Risotto.
Yeah, and that is my favorite risotto of all time. And it's a bit of work because you have to get all the little leaves off the herbs. So that's kind of our thing. And then recently, you say the mac and cheese. So I think having lived in DC, we saw more mac and cheese, which I did not see as a Thanksgiving thing in the Midwest, although we did eat mac and cheese generally in the Midwest because the Midwesterners love their cheese. So, so adding that in, having lived in DC, now that's kind of part of the tradition too. And we use the soul veg recipe.
That's great. All of that sounds so delicious and so simple too. There's one easy cranberry recipe that I grew up with where it actually ends up shaped like a can. Have you had that before? I'm not kidding. That's exactly how my mom would serve cranberry. I guess you call it cranberry sauce dressing. I don't know what it was, but she would plop the cranberry goo out onto a little glass dish and then slice it. And we'd all grab a little round disc of cranberry.
That is very authentically Midwestern, I will say.
Oh my gosh. See that? I didn't realize how fancy it was.
That and the green bean casserole with the like fried onions. That's
of course.
But yes, you know, I thought of a really cool thing that we've been doing now. I think maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas last year, might have been the first time, maybe the second time. There's a website that's like super simple baking or something like that. It's very like raw ingredient, kind of like sort of a whole food based recipe, and they have a lemon white chocolate cheesecake. And I think the thing about vegan food that's decadent, especially like when you're trying to be around non-vegans, is they want that like really over the top like fatty flavor almost with their sweet stuff, and we're not as attuned to that, I think, because we're just kind of over it. Like, we kind of got used to not eating such rich stuff. But this really gives you that taste.
Yeah.
So I think that's
that's a great idea and a great recipe to share with the audience, to just say, finish up your Thanksgiving meal with something like a vegan cheesecake or some other sort of thick and rich and very, you know, you could put melted dark chocolate on top and some dark chocolate chips or however you want to serve it. You could put strawberries on it if you want to make it look healthy. But really, if you bring that out after this Thanksgiving meal, it'll just be a round of applause. People won't believe that they've just eaten a full Thanksgiving that's been vegan. So we want to do a giveaway. So we'll be doing that in a minute. Any other tips that you want to add as we sort of end this special Thanksgiving podcast?
Well, I think it would be really fun to, especially this year, at least my kids they'll be 3 and 5, to have them pick something. Because I know last year we did, for Thanksgiving, I know my older one picked like a, kind of like a shepherd's pie, but it was like in a casserole. And that was really fun. Yeah. So he was helping me with that. And I think being able to have them choose, you know, this is going to be my thing that I make for Thanksgiving. And then that gets like added into the rotation. I know at least my older one's really into food, really, really, really into food. So and he loves cooking and he loves picking things out. So, but I think the younger one's also old enough now to get it and to start picking something out.
I love that tip. Have the kids make something, even if it's a potluck, or if it's a side, or if it's some part of the meal, because then they're getting involved. They're learning all of those skills for survival, meaning eating food. It'll be fun when people get to try things made by a 5-year-old. I'll get my own Cooper to make something this year to see how he does. But yeah, I mean, there's so many simple recipes. I know Ruby Roth has a wonderful book of recipes just for little hands.
Mm-hmm.
For little
kids. We have that cookbook.
So yeah, I mean, just go through those and find some things that kids can make. If you have tips, send an email to veganfamily@tryveg.com. We'll be checking that email address. If you have ideas for future episodes, please send us an email. This has been great, Cheryl. It's been wonderful, as always, talking with you. Looking forward to future podcasts. And yeah, I think that might end our Thanksgiving episode.
Well, this has made me very hungry.
I know. I'm going to go get something to make, something to eat.
I know. I can't wait until we talk about more food.
I know. What's the next food holiday we can talk about?
I know. We can have Christmas. We can have a Christmas cookie episode.
Oh, yes. Great idea.
It's time for another giveaway.
As promised, here's our giveaway. The first person to send us an email at veganfamily@triveg.com will receive a signed copy of my book, The Smart Parent's Guide to Raising Vegan Kids. Again, send us an email. The first one we receive after this broadcast goes live will receive a signed copy of The Smart Parent's Guide to Raising Vegan Kids, veganfamily@triveg.com. Good luck.
Thank you for tuning in to Compassion Over Killing's Vegan Family Podcast. Have episode ideas or questions about going vegan? Email us at govegan@triveg.com.